It is that time. It has been that time. That time. Nearly done. One more hour to go here on 104.5 The Zone. Appreciate you guys hanging out here with us until 1 o'clock, 10 to 1, weekdays here on The Zone. Buck Rising. Lucas is here. I am here. Will Compton, soon to be here, coming up next on the Zoom. He's not going to bog it down on the phone. What was he doing last time? He sounded like he was going through a drive-thru.
Like, it always sounds like the second or third most important thing he's doing in that moment.
Do you understand that he does these things on purpose to make me angry? It just honestly infuriates me. Actually, I think it's just his incompetence is born out of sheer bad luck, I feel like, on a regular basis. Because I don't think he means to ruin the radio show every time he comes on, but he does find a unique way to do it every time he comes on.
Well, in fairness, there was one time where it was on us.
What do you mean?
When he lost you on the phone, he couldn't hear you. Or no, you couldn't hear him. We lost him on the phone.
It wasn't on me. It wasn't on you either.
But it wasn't on Will. It was not on Will.
It was not on Will. This was not a, yeah. I'm still very bitter about that. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. If you're watching with us on Facebook Live, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, Periscope, whatever it's called, we're here. We're live. You're in the studio with us. We appreciate your participation. What's going on right now is the NFL draft, 8 days away. We've talked about this at great length. By the way, 104.5 The Zone's 2021 NFL draft coverage is sponsored by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. What came out right about just a little before we had our pre-show meeting in the green room, Albert Breer. So what happened in Indianapolis, in lieu of the combine, a couple of weeks ago, earlier this month, medical evaluations and measurements. Now, NFL teams didn't get athletic testing numbers from this gathering in Indy. They had about 150 prospects there, 32 teams, medical staffs, go over the players, make sure everything's right. People like Caleb Farley, who Titans fans seem to have a particular interest in, that matters. Seems like he passed through all those things fairly well, dealing with the back procedure that he had earlier in this process. So what Albert Breer tweeted out about 4 hours ago, Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, NFL teams didn't get athletic testing numbers from the Indy Medical Combine earlier this month, but they did get measurements, so height, weight, all these things. And that meant, finally, they got Alabama wide receiver Devontae Smith on a scale. You think he's been fighting this? You think Devontae Smith's been actively avoiding being weighed?
Like, is that one of the things that you can't? Like, you can avoid, you know, nowadays with no combine, you can choose not to run a 40 at your pro day.
No, you have to get weighed.
Yeah, you can choose not to do the bench press, but okay, you have to stand on the scale.
It's like a physical. It's like a physical. And when you go get a physical at a doctor's appointment, you get weighed. They measure you. These are standard things, standard operating procedure. But Devontae Smith been tough to get on a scale. Now we have them, right? Gotcha. Per sources, the Heisman winner, according to Albert Breer, checked in at 6'2", 6'0.2, so 6'2", 2/10, and 166 pounds. Do you care about Devontae Smith's weight? Because everybody on the internet, in the draft universe, that's all anybody can talk about. Not the dominance throughout the course of his tenure at Alabama, although there is talk of that. Of course, there's what? I think Brugler had 5 first-round wide receivers, Dane Brugler of The Athletic, in his latest 7-round mock draft. You could make the argument for, what, as many as 7? If you're counting Elijah Moore, Kadarius Toney, Terrence Marshall, those seem to be the guys on the fence. But at this point, everybody is obsessed. Everybody who's interested in a wide receiver in the first round, Devontae Smith probably going to be gone unless the Titans trade up. In fact, he will be gone unless the Titans trade up. That much I'm willing to discernibly say. But 166 pounds, do you care about Devontae Smith's weight? That's the question that we asked you guys at Buck Rising on Twitter. The audience has weighed in. In comparison, Khalif Raymond is listed at 5'9", 183. Now, this will, Matt, I'm going to tell you what Tutu Atwell weighed in, the wide receiver out of Louisville. That'll shock you. I think I weighed as much as Tutu Atwell does right now. I weighed as much in fourth grade as Tutu Atwell does right now. That's a tease. Find out next. How fat I was as a middle schooler. 78% of the audience say no, they don't care about Devontae Smith's weight. You shouldn't. What did Harry Douglas tell us a couple of weeks ago? It's the dumbest argument against Devontae Smith. Now, what I have told you guys many, many times over, the draft process is looking for the things, the reasons not to draft you. That is what the draft process is. So if you can find anything to hold against Devontae Smith that tips the scales, no pun intended, in favor for or against you drafting this player, you're going to look for those things. 166 pounds, it's a little lighter. On the lighter side. But like, wide receivers aren't going over the middle and getting getting massacred the way that they did, what, even 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah, and now do his wingspan.
Yeah, his wingspan is massive. I'll pull that up right now, as a matter of fact. In fact, Lucas, if you could do me the favor of pulling that up, Devontae Smith's wingspan, because he has the wingspan of a pterodactyl, basically. He has the catch radius of a garage door.
78.5.
It's monstrous. Monstrous. He's 6 foot. 6 foot point two. 6 foot two tenths. Fun midday drinking game. Take a drink every time Buck says it's the zone on Hal Laws. What do you want me to do, Hal? That's from Hal Laws on YouTube. If you wanna criticize me, constructive or otherwise, in the comments section on Facebook Live, YouTube, Twitch, and Periscope, you are welcome to do so, like Hal Laws is doing on YouTube. 104.5 The Zone TV, a good time had by all. Now, what we'll talk to, because Will Compton, who's coming up next, Bussin' with Buck, we do it every Wednesday. Will Compton, not currently on an NFL team, although he's receiving paraphernalia from other local Nashville sports teams.
Paraphernalia?
Is that the right word?
No, I really don't think that.
We're coming off 420. What do you want from me? You a cop? Back off.
Like, try merchandise. I don't know.
Merch? I don't know. Paraphernalia. Maybe I'm trying to get too cute with it.
Like, he's not receiving like crack pipes.
All right. Back off, you narc. What are you saying? What are you trying to say about Memphis? What are you doing there?
Oh, no. Don't do this. You said other sports teams in Tennessee. Stop.
Careful, Lucas. 615-737-1045. So Will Compton not on a football team right now in the Metro Nashville area, and yet Nashville SC is sending him a jersey. I make this whole deal out of attending my first Nashville SC match about how much fun I had. I even got a call. Okay, I got a call yesterday. Will Compton will join us coming up next. In fact, let me get the man's name right. Will from Nashville SC. I got a call yesterday from Will at Nashville SC. All right, because they did a good job. They sent me a survey after the game. I filled out the survey. Immediately, I get a call from Nashville SC. I don't know if it's their ticketing department, their event department, whatever. All right, but Will calls me and is asking me all these questions. Now, Will doesn't know that my real name's not Buck. So he's calling me by the name on my birth certificate.
Which is?
Do we give that away?
That's your call, bud.
I don't know. It's an interesting topic. Maybe for another day when we have more time to move, when we have more time to maneuver. But anyway, so Will calls me yesterday and he's going on about my experience at Nashville SC. You said you would be willing to bring a group here. What would you be bringing a group for? I said, well, probably work. If we were to do some kind of event when people are vaccinated and when things are more relaxed and we can gather once again, I want to get out and do stuff with the people that listen to this show, because I appreciate that. And so Will goes, well, where do you work? I said, 104.5 The Zone. He said, oh, is this Buck Rising? I said, yeah. And he's going on, and he's just sent me an email. As a Nashville sports fanatic and a longtime follower, I appreciate all you do for the sports in the city and people in general. So I've made a connection with Nashville SC. Why the hell is Will Compton getting a jersey and I don't get a jersey? Now, not that I'd wear the jersey. I don't know what I'd do with the jersey, but it's like being invited to a wedding. I don't want to go, but I want to be invited. I see Roman Yossi got one. I see Will Compton got one. Will Compton's an unemployed linebacker with a podcast. That's basically what I am.
Yeah, it's the same except thing. For the linebacker part.
You know. It's barely a linebacker at this point. More podcaster than linebacker at this point. Oh, this is good. He usually comes on here and pisses me off, so we'll rag Will Compton.
Who has more Twitter followers?
Will Compton.
Maybe that's what they went with.
More Twitter followers? Well, you think me kicking up a stink on local sports talk radio, it's not going to, squeaky wheel gets the oil, right?
Yeah, you're going to get a call later today or tomorrow. Look, fine, here's your jersey.
I'm pissed. I don't want to go. I just want to be invited. That's all I'm saying, Nashville SC. Will Compton, he's normally invited. And even if he wasn't, he'd probably show up anyway. He does his weekly Bussin' with Buck segment. Coming up next, I'm Buck Rising. And this, if you're playing the drinking game, is 104.5 The Zone. All right, so every week when Will Compton comes on, every week, Lucas asks me, what song can I play to make Will laugh? Is there a certain song that Bussin' with the Boys uses? I said, yes, there is, but I don't know it off the top of my head, although I'm sure there's somebody local, some kind of local tie that the boys on the bus have given to some artist to do their intro music. So instead we went with the Boys Are Back in Town, which I didn't think Will Compton was going to be smart enough to get the joke. William, did the joke land with you? You're muted, by the way, before you say anything. Always with the mute. Hello.
Well, somebody must have muted me because I unmuted a second ago.
It was me.
But yeah, I get the joke. The Boys Are Back in Town. Me and you, the boys are back every week on Wednesday, 12:20.
That's right.
It's showtime.
It is showtime. And then when showtime shows up, he's muted. So that's how showtime is going for Will Compton. New episode out every Wednesday this week. Chase Rice, who I'm sure many, many people in the listening audience are familiar with if you're a fan of country music at all or just general good times. Chase Rice is a good time and tells some really fun stories with the boys on the bus this week. Subscribe, rate, and review wherever it is that you get your podcast. We'll talk about Chase and the conversation that you guys had here in a second, but we spent, 8 days till the draft. And I thought, who could we talk to about getting drafted? Whose insights could we find about how magical the process is? Who can regale us with stories of the moment when they heard their name announced and their lives changed forever? And I said, oh, wait, we have Will Compton. And then I remembered Will Compton didn't get drafted, which honestly, and to your credit while I'm sitting here making fun of you, to your credit, to have lasted nearly a decade in the NFL while not being drafted is a credit to you and your work ethic. Now that I have said nice things about you, we can begin.
I appreciate those words, man. Yeah, I definitely didn't hear my name called. I thought I might hear my name called, but it was a huge bummer when I didn't. When I got signed with Washington, it was kind of just like, right after the draft ends, there's like, okay, your agent lets you know like who's interested, who I've heard from and stuff like that. And you kind of give them like a short list of like three teams. I forget who I said. I want to say it was like Tampa Bay, Chicago, and Washington. And then he calls me. He's like, all right, gets off the phone, calls me back in like 3 minutes. And he's like, hey, congratulations. You're Washington Redskins, Washington football team now. But that's how it kind of happened for me. And I didn't know how to feel about it at the time. So that's how my draft experience went. I had some family over. I had some people over. We all enjoyed it, but there was like an internal part of me that was very bummed out that I didn't get drafted.
Yeah, no, I'm certain. By the way, Blas Hernandez has tweeted in or is commenting on the Periscope live stream saying, Buck's been in the gym, he's getting NFL ready. That's one of your people. Apparently he goes to my gym, and me and Blas had a very, he was very complimentary of the work that you and Luan do. I was less complimentary about the work that you and Luan do, but such is life.
Hey, shut up, Bloss, man. He's the best. He's our producer for Bussin' with the Boys.
Yeah, kills it. And they have great content available across all platforms, not just the podcast. The YouTube video edition of the podcast comes out Wednesday evenings as well. So what's it like to go through the general process of an undrafted rookie free agent, because that's not something that people typically think about, right? Once the seventh round of the draft ends, even the most obsessed of the draft junkies are no longer watching the television broadcast. And then you see, a lot of beat reporters or Rappaport Schefter tweeting out X, Y, and Z has signed with you know, the Washington football team or the Tennessee Titans or things like that. We have questions streaming in for Will Compton, by the way, on Periscope Facebook Live. If you have questions for the boy, we will ask them as long as they are appropriate.
I can only imagine. I can't see him, but it sounds like there's some funny ones.
I've got four screens in front of me. I'm literally going to die of like radiation sickness by the end of this radio contract. But in the meantime, you can ask questions in the chat no matter where you are watching 104.5 The Zone TV. What's it like to be an undrafted rookie free agent?
It kind of sucks, honestly. Okay. It's you're stoked to be on a team, right? Like, you think you're going to go to this team. You know, you're kind of telling your family and friends, like, yeah, I'm signing with Washington, and you're optimistic to them. But, like, to you personally, like, you're going on, you're seeing depth charts, you're seeing where you might be slotted in. You get to the facility, like, when you check, you know, you report for rookie minicamp, and you quickly realize that contrary to what your college coaches tell you and strength coaches, everybody who just says, like, you know, you need to just get into a camp. You get into a camp, you know, you can do your thing, blah, 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 blah. All the stuff that, you know, your coaches and family and everybody knows about you, all these intangible things, right? You quickly realize that they don't give, you know, I can't cuss, but they don't give, you know, a crap who you are.
Yeah.
And you're on the bottom of every depth chart. Special teams, you hear all the special team speeches on how you make the team on special teams. You're just hearing all this stuff. You're in the building with 90 other guys, 90 other grown men. You go through rookie mini camp. You realize that you're just a small fish in it, just a huge pond. And it's a very big uphill battle. But yeah, man, it's not the most fun thing. It's very discouraging. It's discouraging a lot of the time because you doubt yourself a lot, and you get kind of, you see the business side, you see the teeth side of it. And at the end of the day, you're just kind of like, as I'm sitting here talking about this, you just realize like, oh, these are things I'm just feeling sorry for myself. Just because like this shit, just because this is all very hard. And, but it's an uphill battle, bro. Like, you know, you're just not, I can't curse. So I can't be who I want to be on here.
Oh, but just speaking of making excuses,
I'm just saying,
just be a broadcast professional one time. It's okay. I understand, you know, that you're comfortable. People can't see the Zoom.
I can't help that I have a lack of vocabulary and I'm not the smartest guy in the room. So I result to cursing. Like that's how it works when you just don't have the best intelligence to carry a conversation.
Okay.
But it's tough, bro. Like, and like making the team. So what I had to do is you probably got, you know, 2 to 4 reps a day at most, like when the vets were there, you do like basically don't get any reps. Like you have 90 guys. So there is a third team, like there's a third team defense, but the third team only rotates in every other period. And then when there's 8 linebackers in the room, and there's only 2 going. So, you know, the top 2 strings, that's 4 guys. The other 4 guys are all on third string. So you got to rotate in with the third string when they only go every other period. So you only get 2 to 4 reps every day, maybe. And so you needed those reps to count, to stand out. And for me, how I feel, the reason I've been able to last so long is being able to play above the neck. So to find my edge, I would have to know our offense inside out to show the coaches that I could command command a huddle or be very vocal, but also play very fast. And the way I was like able to do that was I would go in like after hours, basically, and I would just game plan. I would game plan our offense similar to how I game plan any team now. I would basically game plan an offense because in my head, I'm like, all right, the coaches are installing, the offense is installing. You can only install so fast in the offseason. So it's going to be very simple. They're going to allow guys to play fast and aggressive. Well, the benefit of that for me is you can kind of determine what play is going to be ran because they're trying to get on track with their run game. They're only going to run a few stuff, their bread and butter plays. So they're going to repeat them because they want to get better at them every day. So I would like live in those details of game planning the offense. So when I got out there and I saw an X receiver inside the numbers, which when it was back when McVay and them were running the offense in Washington, that would be a tip for like play action. So I would literally yell, watch the play pass and like sort of guess, but just be confident in my preparation of knowing that to show coaches, oh, this complicated. He kind of knows like what he's doing out there. Like, you know, we're hearing him and he's only in a few plays at a time in practice. Well, in training camp, Kenyon Robinson tore his pec. So it allowed me to move up to run with the 2s every now and then. And then the other undrafted guy I was competing with, he strained his hamstring. So it allowed me to be a full on two. So by the time I got my opportunity to like run with the twos, I was very well prepared to showcase getting more reps, doing more things, which earned me more reps in the preseason. So there's some luck that's factored into this whole free being an undrafted guy as well. It's not like you just grit and determination, you're going to get to the top. You need some stuff to play into your favor. But that's kind of how my story went with making the practice squad. And then the next year I made the team just because I was on P squad all year. And the next Shanahan, you know, he always told me like, you know, we feel like we know stuff about you that other teams don't, which also sucked because then you're stuck on practice squad.
Yeah.
But then the next year, coaches got to spend more time with you because they're like, hey, you've been in this system enough, like for a year, we trust you going out there and kind of, you're going to get more opportunity this year, you know, make the most of it because, and it was Coach Hazlett, who was my D coordinator on Washington at the time.
Titans He's like, inside linebacker coach right yeah. now, by the way.
Yeah. The Titans inside backer coach right now, Coach Hazlett, he was my D coordinator at Washington. So he kind of found me when I was doing this. So the next year he's like, hey, you can make this team. Like, I'm going to put you in more positions to make it. I'm talking to the special teams coach to get you more reps, but you know, it's up to you. That's going to take advantage of these opportunities because you can play. So don't doubt yourself. And that next year is when I made the team and then injuries happen. Then you get on the field and then the next year you start more games. But that was kind of my journey as an undrafted guy. But to answer your question on how, what is it like? It's discouraging, but it's just more of an uphill battle than you can imagine, honestly. And there, again, there's some luck that plays into it, but it's like taking advantage of the smallest of opportunities that you might have.
Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys, free agent linebacker for any NFL teams listening who would like to offer him a job. I'm sure there are many, many people are wanting to sign Will Compton right now as free agency rolls along. Bussin' with the Boys, subscribe, rate, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, wherever it is that you get your podcast. Chase Rice episode out right now. How much do you think that helped you, though? Because not a lot of people, I mean, that sounds like a process, and we see it every year, that process weeds a lot of people out. But I look at guys like you, or just from a Titans worldview, Anthony Firkser or Khalif Raymond, players like yeah. this who find their opportunities and maximize their opportunities, whether it's, you know, doing things outside of the conventions of the practice, of the meeting room, game planning your own offense in your own time to make sure that you are as mentally in the game as you are physically in the game. That's something that I feel like that process, it sounds horrific, and there's nothing like that in the rest of the American workforce as far as I know. But it does seem like for the ones who can make it work for themselves, they come out as better players, more rounded, well-rounded players on the other side of that. Or am I reading that wrong?
No, I mean, when you're going through these things, like you're able to, because as an undrafted guy or even a lower round guy for that matter, because they got to make the rounds 5 through 7. That's kind of like the same thing. It's just who got a higher signing bonus.
Right.
But you're finding edges. And these are your ways to learn, and you start to learn like when you're playing professional ball and then you're out there in preseason games and actual games to where you realize in yourself, like when you're building confidence that like, oh, this game isn't like, you know, I've always put it on a pedestal. Like it's not as insane as I thought it would be, because you start to find these edges in the film room and other areas. And that's kind of your way to stand out. Like you got to figure out the things you're good at and find, like, live in those worlds and figure out how you can stand out even more. And for me, it was always playing above the neck. It was always in preparation and studying in the film room and tendencies. Like, that's always the world I've kind of like lived in front, and learning that from Bo Pelini at Nebraska. Barrett Rood helped me study, like watch film when I was at Nebraska and figure out how he breaks it down, how to actually watch film so your brain's not just moving a million miles an hour at all times. And that's basically where it stems from, is figuring out how you learn and dumbing it down for yourself and simplifying it to where it's like, all right, you go from personnel, what personnel are they in, to what formations do they run out of this personnel, which tight end is in the game, which running back is in the backfield, all these little things that simplified all the way down to where they can only run a certain number of plays out of a certain formation with certain splits, certain personnel in the game. Like all of those things is kind of the edge that I chase and the world that I kind of lived in to kind of stand out and show Because then when you go on the field, you need to be very confident and vocal and not have any repeat errors. You can't be an error repeater when you're an undrafted guy. You don't get very many chances. If you screw one thing up once, you better fix it, because if you do it again, they're going to think you don't learn from anything and you're not actually studying. So those are the ways that, like, Khalif and Ferk, all those guys, like, you figure out ways to find your edges and chase those edges and not be an error repeater and show up every day.
The comments and the questions are pouring in the chat. Buckethead wants to know, does Will ever have to sneak a Ritalin in Lawan's drink to keep him focused?
You know, it's always a blast to him. You got to let him go, because he's an entertainer. He can tell good stories. For me, I'll sit there and digest what he's saying and figure out what we left off on to figure out how we circle it back around to it. And then when you find a little space that you can chime in, you got to find your opportunity. So just as much with Taylor, you got to watch film and figure out what you can do to optimize the boys.
No, listen, you have grown tremendously as a driver of a broadcast, which I don't know whether I feel like a sense of pride or whether I'm mad at you that it took you this long to figure it out or whatever, but it's, you know, you, it's true. You gotta know your teammates. It's just like out there playing defense. The podcast game is no joke, as I'm sure I don't have to tell you. All right. So, the new episode is out today, as of this morning, Bussin' with the Boys, featuring country star Chase Rice. This is the second time that he's been on the podcast. What made the second episode stand out from the first? What did you guys get into this time that you didn't talk about the first time around?
Yeah, so last time he was on, it was on Zoom, and this was when the pandemic, like COVID was at, you know, everybody was home. Everybody was at the house. So we were kind of figuring out Zoom, like everyone else was trying to do, like Instagram Live, Zoom interviews, all that kind of thing. So the first thing was like him coming on. We actually wanted to get him on the bus because you have better conversations that way. He was getting bison delivered to his farm at that time.
Is it the animals, bison?
The animal, bison. Yes, he has. He farms bison. He's got a ranch of bison. He's got a lot of them, apparently. And so he got to talk about that and talk about the ins and outs of having bison and, like, I don't know, being a shepherd of bison, whatever the country boys call it. But and shepherd also, yeah, and also, this was before he went on that concert during COVID, like when he got a big slap on the hand. And so we got to talk in depth, pretty well in depth, like get into a couple articles that were written on him about it. Some country singers that had a few choice words to say about him, and kind of talk through what that was like for him during that time. So that was actually very interesting to talk about, number one, but even hear, you know, what his thought process was on it all. And then we also talked about his new song, his new music coming out, making a music video, why he thinks his best music is coming up and out in front of him, because he had to kind of quarantine and sit at his house and actually think about how he wanted to make good music, because he couldn't tour. He was jaded a little bit by country music being put out. And he was like, you know, he didn't want to fit into that mold of that mainstream country music. He kind of chirps a couple of his old songs that he didn't actually think were hitters like that. But you kind of just dive into all that stuff, man. It was very insightful, because he seems like, at first from the outside looking in, he kind of seems, you know, he's got a little arrogance to him, but then you kind of realize sitting on the bus and talking to him that this is just a very focused individual who understands what he wants. And, you know, he just kind of doesn't get kind of puppeteered around like, you know, some people can, I guess. I don't know. I really dug the conversation. I think people will enjoy it.
And most people don't know that Chase Rice is a former linebacker himself. So you guys have that in common. Maybe he's going to get a contract before you do. North Carolina, Chase Rice. Will Compton.
Yeah, he played. Go ahead. He played with who is it? Caleb Presley? Oh wait, no, he might have been before Caleb, but yeah, he was a linebacker and went through injuries and stuff, and that's actually how he found music and got into music, going through injury when he played at the University of North Carolina and was injured.
Now, obviously the answer would be me if I had been on the bus by now, but who is your favorite interview non-sports division that you guys have had on Bussin' with the Boys?
Ooh, that's a good question, Buck. I don't know.
No, that's not a good answer.
I know. Is anybody come to mind? As somebody who, since you want to call the segment Bussin' with Buck, We promote Bussin.
Since I want to call this segment Bussin with Buck.
Since you want to call this segment Bussin with Buck and we promote Bussin every week, I would think you are an avid listener of Bussin with the Boys. So if you could, as a fan of the Boys, throw some names at me who've been outside the sports box, I would greatly appreciate it because my CTE is kicking in and I can't really think of all the guests we've had on.
That's a joke, of course, that Will Compton can make and nobody else can make. That's such poor optics by you. Listen, to be honest, and I am an avid listener. I don't always get a chance to listen before the show on Wednesday mornings, but I always listen afterwards. And Jelly Roll, by far and away, and it's not just because it's one of the most recent, but because of who he is in Nashville, what his story is, what his background is, the way that man carries himself, for all of the hate that he receives on the internet, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
The mindset of somebody like that really, really blew me away. Just because you see the depths of the character of somebody who otherwise, if you were just scrolling through your Instagram feed or if you're just looking at a picture of him, you may otherwise dismiss. So I don't just say that because that's the most recent episode outside of Chase Rice.
Right.
But he really, really... I was in a way that, and by the way, you two didn't stampede him the way that you do with some of your teammates because you were as engaged with him as a storyteller, and it is not a story that you guys are a part of where it's easy for you guys to do with Vrabel or Derrick Henry or somebody like that where you're a part of the story, so you're telling your perspective. It was very much a sit back and listen to what this man has to say because the story is so enthralling.
I do agree. I think Jelly Roll is like on our what did our boy tweet at? What
Mount
did our boy
Busmore tweet at? Or something stupid
Mount
like
Mount
that?
Mount Busmore. God. Yeah. I do think Jelly is on the Mount Busmore of episodes. And again, I didn't want to have recency bias. So I enjoyed putting the ball in your court, and I actually enjoyed your in-depth take on that episode because I do think it's very good. Like we got a lot of great response on the Jelly Roll episode. Nate Bargatze, he was really fun to sit down with and kind of hear his storytelling. But as far as stories go, it's hard to beat a story like Jelly's. It really is. And I do think this is in the sports world, but I had George and Rob Tunyon sat down the other day, and that one comes out next week. George Kittle and Rob Tunyon, Green Bay Packers. George is on the 49ers. I do think you're really going to enjoy that episode. I know I fall in the recency bias category, but I think that's going to be a Mount Busmore of 2021.
Quick flicks on YouTube, Brightson. I was deployed in South Korea, and Chase Rice actually came down to see the troops. Have a lot of respect for him, so that's a cool story from somebody who has served. Thank you for your service, Quick Flicks. We appreciate that. All right. Bussin' with the Boys, subscribe, rate, and review wherever it is that you get your podcast. It's on your favorite podcast app. It's on YouTube. You can follow the boys at BussinWTB on the socials. The people will continue to pressure you to have me on. I will not do it because I'm respectful and I'm a professional. But just know,
you do it every week. What are you talking about?
You know.
And we're done already? Dude, what's all the chat saying? I forget we only get in a lot of 20 minutes.
Well, listen, if you want to hang through the commercial break, you can do that too. The show is not over. It's up to you. I didn't want to waste your time because I'm respectful that way. But if you want to stick around, the show's not done.
No, I got stuff to do, man. I need to,
get the hell out of my Zoom.
All right, bud. Appreciate you, brother.
Will Compton, Bussin' with the Boys here with us on 104.5 The Zone. All right, time to update the polls. That's coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is the aforementioned Zone. Drink. Man, this got too much soul to not be Prince. Do I got it right or I got it wrong?
This is Heat Wave.
Heat Wave by?
Sorry, this is The Groove Line by Heat Wave.
The Groove Line by Heat Wave. I like The Groove Line. A little funky here on 104.5 The Zone. Buck Rising here with you. Update the polls momentarily. Now, there it has been brought to my attention that people are making promos of our radio show unbeknownst to me. So, and that's fine. More promotion is good, better than less promotion, without question. But I get questioned about the promos as if people think that I have designs on the promos. Now, do we have both of them, Lucas, that I have been asked about? So we do not have both of them, but we have one of them, which I believe is fairly recent. Because I walked into the studio this morning to get a water, a sparkling water, out of the fridge. I continue to steal and not replenish any of the drinks that I take out of the Zone Studio mini fridge. Also, somebody's lunch has been in there for 3 days, and I'm going to fight somebody. Get that out of there. As soon as the mini fridge starts to smell, that's a fine. That's a fine for the fine bucket that we have at home. If I find out who you are, I will come after you, and then I will make you pay a fine. Anyway, so I walk into the studio this morning to grab a sparkling water, and Ramon Foster and Braden Gall are sitting in here, and Ramon looks at me like, oh, there he is. And I go, what do you mean? And I go, well, we were just making fun of the promo that was running of you. I go, what promo? What is this promo? Because I catch J. Martin Ramon most days driving into work, but it's a 10-minute drive for me, so a lot of times I'll just listen to music to get myself amped up, get myself in the right headspace to talk to myself for 3 hours. So I haven't heard these promos. But this promo that they are asking me about, I think paints me in an unfavorable light. Lucas, do we have it at the ready?
Cough syrup and eyebrow trimming don't mix. Just ask Buck.
I was doped up on, I think, cough syrup, and I accidentally shaved off my eyebrows. It was definitely noticeable for about a week.
Buck Rising, today, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 104.5 The Zone.
What the hell is that? You talking about me doped up on cough syrup? What?
For me, it's right off the beginning.
Cough syrup and eyebrow trimming don't mix. Just ask Buck.
Are you kidding me? He's just going to think I'm coming in sipping lean. It's not sparkling water in my cup.
These are things that you said on the air.
Yeah, I know. That doesn't mean that we have to promote the fact that I'm drugged on cough syrup.
It's not like somebody mic'd you up in a private conversation and turned it into a promo. You said these things.
That's without zero context. Are you responsible for this? Is that why you're defending it?
I'm not.
Unbelievable.
I don't decide what our promos say.
There's one of Mike Vrabel. I haven't heard the Vrabel one congratulating me either on the new job. But so I'm a doped up on cough syrup butt kisser, apparently because of the promos that were running on this radio station, continuously painting me in a bad light. People are laughing at me in the chat on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitch, and on Periscope, wherever it is that you watch 104.5 The Zone TV. Praise is pouring in. Unbelievable. One more time for the people.
Cough syrup and eyebrow trimming don't mix. Just ask Buck.
I was doped up on, I think, cough syrup, and I accidentally shaved off my eyebrows. It was definitely noticeable for about a week.
Buck Rising, today, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 104.5 The Zone.
Listen to Buck Rising from 10 to 1 weekdays to see what he's doped up on next. Jesus, what are the polls?
What is your biggest concern about the Titans draft
process? What are you laughing about?
Everything. Puka says busting on defensive picks. Hibbs says lack of talking about drafting a backup QB. Topic for another day.
That's tomorrow.
Any J-Rob picks outside of the second and third rounds. Jim says I'm just here for Vrabel's kids dressing up again. Swaggy P. Knuckles says J-Rob getting out of his slump. And Ben says that we take a rotational piece or project in the first two rounds. We have too many holes to have the luxury of doing that. Quite a few replies here.
I mean, my biggest question is, I don't know what went wrong. Like, I don't know where the holes in the process were that led to Isaiah Wilson being as big a flame out as it was. Right? I don't know what happened in the draft process that let Kevin Dodd get through. I don't know what happened in the player evaluation process that lets Vic Beasley get through. Right? What I don't know is my biggest concern. And I will probably never know. Right? These are backroom conversations. These are conversations had in coaching offices, conversations that I will never be a part of.
Do you care about Devontae Smith's weight? 78% of over 300 voters say no.
I care about what I watch on film. I care about what I watch in the national championship game. I care about what I watch through, you know, playing against the best talent that college football has to offer in the SEC. I don't care if he's 166 pounds.
He was
stupid.
So good last year.
Dumb.
So stupid good. The numbers, when you consider how many games that team played, you really wonder what they would have done with the other two games. Should Lucas Panzeca have made the Titans PA Final Six? 49% say yes, 51% say no.
Oh, Man, the people just continued.
Really, just no confidence. There wasn't much confidence going into. The majority of voters gave me a 25% chance to make it, which was the lowest option we provided.
Does it hurt you to know that I found out that you weren't going to make it and didn't beforehand and didn't tell you?
I'm slightly hurt. In the video that came out, they said, now let's meet our finalists. And then it showed like a little highlight comp of a bunch of the contestants. And I was the first one. I was like, oh, I made it.
Not that you're bitter.
No. What's your worst don't press send moment? We've read a couple of these.
We got too many to get to, I'm sure.
I don't think we have time to go through those. But check out at Buck Rising on Twitter.
All you have to know is the Vegas Raiders. Better off not pressing send.
Does the Titans statement on voluntary workouts concern you? 79% say no.
Yeah, because it's stupid. They're not holding out of voluntary workouts. Do the homework, Bleacher Report. Blaine and Mickey will. They're coming up next.